and now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
We want to look together at how to be a friend. I don't believe that a single one of us in the audience today but what would say we're concerned about the relationship we have with other people. We're concerned about cementing and solidifying and making these even stronger. So let us notice together how to be a friend. Call attention again to the scripture read earlier in Proverbs 27, verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. I suppose Solomon was here meaning not so much just the perfume as to the aroma of it, but also including ointment. Maybe the fact of that which may have been used for medication, ointments, often used long ago in various forms of medication. Ointments and perfume rejoice a man's heart. But even though they do, a man's friends bring a hearty counsel, or as some translations translate it, help, or are a helper. And that's really what friends are. As we notice how to be a friend, I think a good way of illustrating it is by that creature that roams the grasslands of East Africa, the rhinoceros. This rhinoceros is a two-horned creature that is among the strongest and fiercest and most dangerous of all animal creation. But that big old rhinoceros that roams those grasslands of East Africa, feared by just about everything and just about everybody, doesn't seem to be anything that wants to have much dealing with this creature, except a bird called the buffalo bird. And that buffalo bird rides on the back of that big old strong dangerous rhinoceros. And that buffalo bird that rides on the back of that rhinoceros picks parasites from the rhinoceros, and that's how the bird lives. He acts just about like a woodpecker. The woodpecker, of course, pecking the trees and the wood. And he pecks into the back of this rhinoceros and gets the parasites there. Feeds upon them and therefore lives. The rhinoceros has poor eyesight, even though he's strong, powerful, can hardly see anything. And this buffalo bird has great sight. And so the buffalo bird gives out a shrill cry when anything would seem to come close to them. And so these two creatures, totally opposite, have a mutual dependency upon one another. The rhinoceros and the buffalo bird. As totally opposite as they seemingly could seem to be, and yet are of benefit and of mutual dependence upon one another. And I think that illustrates really what friendship's all about. That oftentimes it may seem to be that folks may be as different as and as far apart as the north, the south, the east, the west. They may be as different as that big old rhinoceros and that little buffalo bird. And yet folks realize that they need, that they're dependent upon one another. Paul, in writing to the Romans, said, "No man lives to himself and no man dies to himself." We could say that no man is an island. No man is self-sufficient. No man is self-contained. That all of us need one another. That we need friendship. That we need association. Because we're mutually dependent upon one another. How to be a friend? I want to note first of all that friendship means that there is companionship. We go to God's Word and note probably the most beautiful and vivid and descriptive example in all the Scripture concerning companionship. In the case of Jonathan and David. Jonathan was the companion of David. In 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 through 4, when David and Jonathan met, now, Jonathan was the son of King Saul. And David was just a little shepherd boy at that time. Of course, he later became king and he became mighty and great in the Lord's service. But at the time in which they met, David was the shepherd boy and Jonathan was the son of the king. How could these people, miles apart, totally different in so many ways, be friends? And yet they were. Probably among the greatest friendships of all recorded in the Word of God were these two. In 1 Samuel 18, verse 1 says that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And in the third verse, it said that Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Notice how intense and how great that friendship was. The soul of Jonathan knit to the soul of David. It was a very close association. And he loved him as his own soul. Now, when we are a friend to someone, it simply means that we are a companion of that person. We may not have the same educational background. We may not have all of the same interests. And in some senses, some folks might look and say, how could those be so close together because it seems that there are so many differences. And yet Jonathan and David were companions, even though there were many differences. If we're to be a friend, then we must be a companion to others. And then secondly, on how to be a friend, is not only to be a companion, but to be a peacemaker. And I think often, even though we may not desire it to be, that it's necessary for us to be in the role of a peacemaker. Sometimes circumstances over which we have no control may threaten the very fiber of our relationships. It was not long before this friendship between Jonathan and David was strained. And it was strained because Jonathan's father, King Saul, was jealous of David. In 1 Samuel 18, verses 7 and 9, after David had slain the giant Goliath, the Scripture says that Saul would not let David go to his home. Well, he wanted David to come home and to be with him. And that may have been all right for a little while until the women began to sing. And the women sang the song, Saul has slain his thousands and David 10,000. And when King Saul heard that song day after day, and he heard the praise that was being heaped upon David, he said in verse 9, David's now taken away everything that belongs to me except the throne. He couldn't stand the praise that was being heaped upon David. You know that old green-eyed monster, jealousy, envy, got into the heart of Saul and it began to eat like a cancer. Envy and jealousy and bitterness will cause greater harm to a person probably than cancer, because it'll just eat away. They'll just destroy. Saul was king. Saul had everything that a person could want. And how could he be so foolish because some of the women were singing and praising David by slaying 10,000. And Saul his thousands. Saul became filled with envy, jealousy, and it just hurt him to the very core. Oftentimes, when someone succeeds, when someone seems to be doing quite well, there'll be those that'll get envious and jealous of them. We ought to be thankful. Thankful and happy when praise comes to some other person. We ought to be glad, but it's an easy thing to be like Saul, to be filled with jealousy. And so because of that jealousy, he wanted to destroy David. He tried to kill him, and Jonathan came into the role of a peacemaker. And in 1 Samuel 19:4, Jonathan spoke good of David unto Saul his father. And Jonathan said to Saul, his father, David hasn't done anything wrong to you. And in verses 4 and 5 of this 19th chapter, he said, David even risked his life for you. And he narrates the time when David had gone down and risked his own life in killing the giant and making the Philistines to flee. And he said he did all of this for you. He's not your rival. He's not trying to usurp in any sense, in any way. And then in verse 6 of that same 19th chapter, Saul says, as the Lord lives, David shall not be killed. That's a promise that Saul made to his son Jonathan. Just as surely as God, as the Lord lives, David isn't going to be killed. So a friend often needs to come into the role of a peacemaker with men. Often we find ourselves in the position between two friends who disagree. And normally two things will happen. We may choose to side with both in the hope of not offending either. In which case, we must avoid being with both friends at the same time. Now, I'm not saying that's the way we ought to do, but I'm saying that's how sometimes we do. We want to try to agree with both without offending either one. We want to try sometimes to play the middle. Plutarch wrote, "A constant friend is a rare thing and hard to find." Isn't that true? A constant friend is a hard, rare thing and hard to find. Someone that'll be constant. Someone that'll be the same all the time. I hear people sometimes say that I like such and such a person because they're the same. I mean, you see them one time, they react in a way, and you see them another time the same way. Because they're the same. I think that's what he was saying. I think that's what all of us want. A constant friend. Someone that's going to be the same. Someone that isn't going to be like a gentle, balmy spring breeze one day, and then the next time you see them, they're like the howling winds of March. But someone that's constant, a rare thing and hard to find. Yes, we need to be oftentimes in the role as a friend of a peacemaker. Jesus said in that beautiful Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." We need to be in the role of a friend as a peacemaker. And then thirdly, Jonathan was the protector. How to be a friend means that we're going to be one that is a protector of that person we love and that person that we're concerned about. In 1 Samuel 20, verses 1 through 9, after Saul had promised Jonathan that as long as the Lord lives, David shall not be killed, in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 19, Saul didn't continue true to that promise, because that peace, like so many, becomes unraveled. Saul changed his mind. Saul later decided that he didn't want David to live. And so when that occurred, Jonathan, this great friend of David's, became a protector. Often we need to be a protector. In Proverbs 15:23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Yes, we need to be a protector. Jonathan protected David from the destruction of his life. Now, I don't think any of us are necessarily going to be called into the role of protecting someone from physical death. But I think we're going to have to oftentimes protect our friends in other ways. You can protect your friend from character assassination. Character assassination is one of the lowest attacks made upon an individual and is done by innuendos and rumors that leave an aura of suspicion. And so oftentimes we need to protect those who are our friends from character assassination. Someone said that a friend is a person who does his knocking before he enters instead of after he leaves. Now think about that for a moment. A friend is a person who does his knocking before he enters instead of after he leaves. Somebody else has said, a dog that can bring a bone can carry a bone. And a person that can assassinate the character of someone in your presence can just as easily, when they leave you, go to someone else and assassinate your character to them. So often we need to be a protector in many ways of our friends. And then fourthly and lastly, friendship will often mean that we have to be a comforter. That's what Jonathan was to David in 1 Samuel 23, verses 16 through 18. It is said concerning Jonathan that he strengthened David's hand in God. That is, he came out and met him. And that word strengthened means encouraged. He encouraged him in God. Jonathan was telling David that all is going to be well with you, and he comforted him in every sense and every way. He encouraged him. And friends are folks who encourage us. They're not people who put a wet blanket up on everything and are negative about everything they face or everything that comes. I remember a few years ago, a dentist friend of mine in Louisville, on one occasion when he had worked on me, and I said to him, Doc, you know, that didn't hurt at all. You're painless. I think I'll never forget. He said to me, well, I was taught in dental school that anybody can hurt. Any person can cause pain. Any person can cause hurt. But it takes a degree of skill to be painless. And isn't that true? This man was president for some time of the Kentucky Dental Association. Having the highest, being president of that association, having the foremost position in the state among his fellow dentists. But I've often thought, anybody can hurt. But it takes someone really who's a friend and someone who's different to be a comforter. Someone said, true friends are like ivy that adheres to the tree in its decay. A true friend is like that ivy that stays on that tree when maybe the tree begins to decay and gets rotten. The ivy still clings to it when the going's good, when the going's rough, when it's smooth or otherwise. But you know, some of us, our fair weather friends, maybe. Some of us have the inclination we want to bail out when the going gets rough, when the problems are large, when the difficulties are great. But true friendship, like that ivy, clings onto that tree when that tree may not be like it once was. It may not be as strong and as healthy as it once was. It still clings to the tree in its decay. We cling to our friends even in moments or in times when they disappoint us. when they upset us, when they disturb us, because we are a friend. A friend loves at all times, as we mentioned last week from that great, great writer Solomon. A friend loves at all times, because that's what friendship is. Friendship comforts. Now, it's easy to be a friend to someone when they react like we want them to react, when they do like we want them to do. It's easy to follow a winner. I'm sure that people came out of the corners every place to jump on the bandwagon of those who won the playoffs. And they sold thousands of tickets, standing room only, for the playoffs. Some of those fans spend $10, $15 for just a place to stand, to be there because that team's in the playoffs. You know, it's easy to follow a winner, but a friend is a comforter. He's there when the going is rough, when the problems are great, when the storm hits. And so we raise the question, how to be a friend? A friend is one who is a companion. He is a peacemaker. He is a protector. And he is a comforter. That's what all of us need to be, because that's how to be a friend. And God wants us to be friends to others. And these are some ways that we can be. If you're not a Christian today, you need to surrender your life to Jesus in obedience to His will by believing in Him with all of your heart, repenting of your sins, confessing His name, being baptized.